CliffCentral.com. Whether you're scrambling to meet the demands of a busy schedule or just finding it really hard to sleep at night, I do sometimes, I'm sure we all do, getting by on less sleep may seem like the only answer. But did you know that even minimal sleep loss can cause a substantial problem and take a huge toll on your mood, your energy, mental sharpness, and the ability to handle stress, not to mention putting you in enormous danger if you're at the controls of complicated equipment like a car? Today, we are not turning a blind eye to the importance of sleep. Even though we're living in times that glorify working and always being on the move, today we want to highlight why we need to be sleeping more. So I thought we'd get our own resident medical expert, Dr. Jonathan Witt, also host of The Renegade Report, to tell us about what happens to you when you don't get enough sleep. So, Doc, nice to talk to you. What is the primary function and purpose of sleep? Why do we have to waste so much of our lives not conscious?
Good question, Gareth. I think the primary purpose really is to give your brain a chance to kind of capture everything that it's been through in the period that you've been awake. There's a lot of memory processing that happens while you're sleeping.
Is it almost like that beach ball of death on the screen when you're working on your computer and it needs to like figure out what the hell's going on?
Yes. If you think about your RAM gets full at the end of the day, and you kind of need to put it into the hard drive, long-term memory, rather than keeping it in your short-term memory. That's the one part, and that's obviously for your brain. And the other part is that your body needs to rest, and you need all kinds of regenerative processes to happen while you're sleeping. And that leads to a whole bunch of health complications, which we can obviously talk about if you don't get enough sleep.
Right. Now, why would sleep be important for our bodies if we think that it's, you know, it's a process that can take X amount of hours and we may be getting less than that? Why would it matter that we're getting just a little bit less than everybody else?
All right. So there's quite a number of studies that have been done into sleep and into the effects thereof. And there's links between cardiovascular disease, things like stroke, heart attack, and lack of sleep. And there's also links between things like diabetes and even obviously psychiatric and psychological conditions if you don't get enough sleep are not necessarily caused by them, but certainly exacerbated by not getting enough sleep.
So how much do you really need?
Well, that depends on your age. So those people who have kids will know that babies and toddlers can sleep for 12 to 16 hours. But as you get older, that kind of decreases. It's actually interesting. You'll notice sort of teenagers, for example, like to go to bed late at night and actually like to wake up later in the morning. And that's got to do with the chemicals in your body that cause you to get sleepy and want to sleep. And those change with your age. But by the time you're an adult, you should be getting what everyone says, about 7 as a minimum, but 8 hours is sort of the target you should aim for. And interestingly enough, that idea that, well, you know, once you age, as you get older, you need less sleep is actually not true. So once you're an adult, you need 8 hours. If you're 30, you need 8 hours. If you're 60, you should still be trying to get 8 hours.
I speak to a lot of people who say to me, oh, no, but I can get by on like 4 or 5. I mean, are there people who can function with less sleep?
So you can function. The real question is whether you're actually functioning at your peak, and the evidence seems to suggest otherwise. So I suppose it would be best seen in an athlete, for example. Yeah. I'm sure Serena Williams can play a very good game of tennis on 4 hours of sleep, but she's not going to be at her best in terms of her reaction times, in terms of her thinking, with decreased amounts of sleep. And in fact, if you lose sleep, you build what's called the sleep debt, and you actually need to pay that back at some point to get back to where you need to be. So if during the week you're only sleeping 6 hours a night, at the end of a week you have a 10-hour sleep debt.
So you're going to make that up, so you're going to have to sleep almost through the night and a day.
Yeah, you'd have to try sleep more, but it's actually quite difficult to catch it up, as I said, the evidence seems to show that you're somewhat impaired as a result of that.
I mean, you're a doctor. You work long hours. How do you...
Just came off a night.
Right, exactly. So how do you manage to regulate your sleeping patterns?
It's a bit of a mess, to be honest. I think any folk who work night shifts and long hours, it becomes quite complicated. Obviously, we've all got a circadian rhythm, and you know, your body wants to sleep at night. That's how all your processes are designed, your hormones and the chemicals that are released. Mm-hmm. So it is quite difficult. I try to always you know, catch up the sleep. So I try to get, once I've worked a full night, I try to then get my 8 hours. That doesn't always happen. In fact, often doesn't happen. But yes, you should try and minimize that sleep debt as much as possible.
What about these people who take sleeping medication and they try to artificially change their circadian rhythms or to induce sleep when they're not necessarily tired, or they're overtired and they can't get to sleep and they take them to force themselves to sleep?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to that. I think the one is people who genuinely have problems sleeping and need some sort of sleep aid to do that. Mm-hmm. Those sort of people, obviously, you know, are probably well justified to be taking something. Although that said, you should really try not be on something for a long period of time, because once you have been, it's almost impossible to sleep without it. And then there's the other side of people who, you know, they either want the quick fix of a pill, which is a lot easier than other methods that they may be able to try to sleep. And I think in those instances, certainly be a bit more patient and try some other approaches.
I mean, what do people do if they aren't getting enough sleep? You say you have the sleep debt, so you've got to try and catch it up. But maybe, you know, you're on a Monday and you've got this terrible sleep debt, and now you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday ahead of you. You can't just take a day off. Are there other ways of coping?
You can't. There's nothing that makes up for sleep. And in what I've been reading, you really just can't replace sleep. You need it, and you need to try get as much of it as you can, or your necessary amount.
Is there such a thing as too much sleep?
No, there isn't in theory too much such a thing as too much sleep. But obviously, if you're you know, if you, for instance, are suffering with depression and you find yourself, you know, just wanting to stay in bed all the time and sleep all the time, then certainly that's abnormal. Mm-hmm. You should be, once you've got your sort of 8 hours or caught up your sleep debt, you really should be waking up and feeling quite good about yourself and getting on with your day. So, yeah.
All right. This is all very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Witt. I think we'll put this into our sleep banks and think on it and hopefully have some dreams on it. Because as you say, if we don't download and we don't spend that time organizing our memories and letting our brain sort itself out, you end up with long-term defects and problems that aren't always curable and certainly can't be solved by a pill. Thanks very much for talking to us.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Jonathan Witt, and some talk about sleep there. Of course, thankfully, Taylor Blinds and Shutters have the likes of a blackout roller blind finish option that is an opaque fabric used to black out light. Blackout fabrics are most commonly found in bedrooms and hotel rooms, and they block much of the light that would otherwise enter through a window when the curtains are closed. For travelers, light-sensitive sleepers, and parents of babies, blackout is an essential element in the bedroom. Every Tuesday, we don't turn a blind eye to issues that affect all of us. Make sure you download the podcast on cliffcentral.com now. Don't Turn a Blind Eye To, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Find out more by going to cliffcentral.com, and make sure you get enough sleep.
Cliffcentral.com.